And modern science is very powerful. Modern science cured polio. Modern science put a man on the moon. The question is, what do you do with the power? If you give absolute power or excessive power to a bunch of people, over time, they're very likely to abuse it. Remember, the richest country in the history of man in peacetime has assembled a debt larger than any in history. And it is getting to the place now where it's not going to be able to afford to go on.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
John Kasich says he's getting a laugh out of an attack ad from a super PAC that supports rival Ted Cruz.
It's what you put up with in a campaign. And, of course, that distorts virtually everything. And in fact, the Wall Street Journal, in an editorial the other day, said it was actually a smear.
The ad charges Kasich with a liberal record. Appearing on ABC's This Week, the Republican governor of Ohio says he thinks it's funny and just something you have to tolerate during a presidential campaign. The ad comes as Kasich and the Texas senator ramp up their criticisms of each other before tomorrow's Wisconsin primary. As for the upcoming convention, Kasich says it's going to be a battle.
There are no rules governing the next convention. The rules have not been set, and we'll see what a rules committee decides to do.
Kasich showing in Wisconsin polls third place with 18% support. This is USA Radio News, breaking news on USARadio.com.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Millions of leaked documents are pointing to an international money laundering network. The report by a German newspaper reveals a worldwide network of offshore shell companies where many wealthy people are hiding assets. The documents, leaked from a law firm in Panama, include the names of more than 70 current or former heads of state, including Russian President Vladimir Putin. Increasing waist size may be a better predictor of heart disease than body weight. New research from the Intermountain Medical Center Heart Institute in Salt Lake City shows that people who carry more weight in the hips than the belly are less likely to have serious heart disease. The study finds there is a stronger connection between reduced heart function and waist size than overall body weight. Spring-like weather is nearly upon us. Here's John DeMaster.
And with spring, for many comes allergies. Group health allergist Mark Lachelle says if you can't avoid tree and grass pollen, you should first try fast-acting antihistamines.
If those aren't working, just in the past year, a lot of very good nasal sprays also became available over the counter. Those are all actually more effective than the antihistamines, but they're slower. They take 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes longer, of everyday use before they start to work.
Dr. Lachelle says you can also get allergy shots over a period of time if your symptoms are severe, though an allergy shot program can take years. For USA Radio News, I'm John DeMaster.
This is USA Radio News, breaking news on USARadio.com.
Good afternoon. The weather today is rain, likely before 2 p.m., and then showers after 2 p.m. I don't know what the difference between rain and then showers is, but whatever. High near 54, west winds around 13 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 90%. And new precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch are possible. Tonight, there'll be showers before 7 p.m. And there again, then rain between 7 and 8. Low around 26. North winds around 16 miles an hour with gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 80%. Tuesday, it'll be sunny with a high near 42. North winds around 14 miles an hour. Tuesday night, it'll be mostly clear with a low around 23, and north winds 5 to 7 miles an hour, becoming calm after midnight. Wednesday is partly sunny with a high near 51. Light southeast winds becoming south to 15 miles an hour in the morning. Wednesday night, the showers will likely, mainly after 2 a.m., and it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 41. There's a 70% chance of precipitation, and Thursday, showers likely. Welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Carol Ricard. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Larry.
This is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses. And someone once told me that if I worked out of my house, I wouldn't have a big commute problem then to go from the kitchen to the living room. And she's probably right. But what we try to do is try to help families who either have someone in their family who has a mental health issue or know someone who has a mental health issue. It could be a neighbor, somebody they work with, whatever. And we do it in various ways. We do it by teaching a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course for families who have someone in their life who has a mental health issue. Doesn't have to be blood. The course covers medicines, side effects of medications, what to do, what not to do in crisis situations, how sometimes to talk down your relative or friend if they're having a problem. It is all free. Everything NAMI does is free. There's no charge for anything. We have a support group once a month, the third Thursday of every month from 7 to 8:30. We also have a course called Educating the Educators. In this society, unfortunately, a lot of times both the husband and wife have to work to make ends meet. And, you know, a lot of times they don't get home in time much before 6, 7 o'clock. So the teachers are the ones who spend a lot of time with the kids. And they're also the ones who, if they're educated enough, they can pick up on things and maybe, you know, catch things in advance before they get to a point where there is a real serious problem. Like I said, everything we do is free. If you need to get a hold of us for anything, questions, problems you may have or whatever, or you just want to, you know, talk to someone about a problem, our phone number is 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man the phone 24 hours, but someone checks it at least once a day, and we promise we get back to you within 24 hours. Today we are very privileged to have with us two gentlemen. Dan Gelman, am I saying that right?
Yes, you are.
Okay. He was the director of marketing for High Focus, and Drew Siegerman. I said that right too, all right. Two for two. Who was the director of High Focus Center in Branchburg. Guys, I always ask this, so, you know, I've been asking it for a couple of years. Every time I have a guest, I ask them, how did you get in this type of work? And, you know, it's amazing to me because some people say, oh, I wanted to do it since I was a kid, and, you know, or they had some happen in their family which directed them to be in a nurse or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just always ask because it always fine. And some people say, oh, I needed a job and this was it, and I happen to love it, you know. But so how did you guys get into this?
So, Larry, first off, I really want to thank you for having us here today. Really appreciate that. And also just want to give a shout-out to NAMI. I think the work that they do across the state in terms of advocacy and education is unbelievable, and particularly locally here in Hunterdon County. You know, thank you for the work you're doing there.
I appreciate it.
So in terms of how I personally got into this, so I'm the director of marketing at High Focus Centers, and I come from a business background of sales and marketing. Through a career of sales and pharmaceutical sales, I wound up doing marketing for a psychiatric hospital in Connecticut. And what I found was I really enjoyed doing sales, but I really enjoyed doing it in this industry where, you know, when I did go out and promote the product, which was the treatment, I was able to connect people who were in need to the treatment that they really needed. So so I really enjoyed it. And when I got an opportunity to transition from the program in Connecticut to High Focus Centers, which is located throughout New Jersey, I jumped at that because it hits closer to home.
Okay. You're up, sir.
I'm up. Ironically, I would say I fell into this
this position I have, but it wasn't a direct path. In 1997 to 2002, I was a New York City police officer. And in 2002, I sustained a pretty significant injury to my ankle. And I knew at that point going back to law enforcement wasn't an option. Had several surgeries over 2 years, and I actually had to move back to my parents' house. And through the recovery process, I started just doing some volunteer work up at Bergen Regional Medical Center in their detox unit. And I was quickly intrigued in regards to seeing the different intervention compared to, you know, what I was seeing as a police officer, the legal intervention, but really seeing the treatment component to it. And then from there, I actually interned at High Focus Centers over 10 years ago and went back to school. And, you know, I got my CADC, my LCADC, and just finishing up my second master's degree. So
that's awesome.
It was just, you know, ironic, you know, how I fell into the field. But, you know, it's a very rewarding job in the field.
Where in New York City were you a police officer?
Brooklyn South, down in the 6th.
I'm sorry?
Brooklyn South?
Brooklyn South.
The 6th. Yeah,
I was born in Brooklyn. That's It's ironic because I worked in New York City for a good many years. And we had a huge warehouse where we distributed private label bakery and cake products and breads and popcorn and stuff like that to various Walgreens and various supermarkets, but under their label, you know.
Right.
And a lot of the police officers in the area we were in, if they wanted to get coffee, they'd come in because we had a ramp that went up and you opened the door and then you drove in and we could shut the door so they could park their car there for a couple of minutes. We'd have them pretzels if they had a, you know, some kind of a program for the, a lot of them were involved with youth groups for kids and stuff. And we give them cases of potato chips and stuff like that. And the Super Bowl was outrageous. I had more police cars in my building than, you know, and the only thing I'd say to them, I says, you see how it is now? That's how it's got to be left when you leave, you know. And but they were great, you know. And they always came by and checked on me and, you know, because it wasn't the greatest neighborhood, but it wasn't the worst, but it wasn't the, you know, the right. best either. And so it was just, you know, it was kind of interesting, you know, because when you said, you know, I was just curious where you were. You want to, either one, it doesn't matter. Want to give me the history of High Focus?
Sure, yeah. So High Focus started over 20 years ago. I think it's about 22 years now in Bergen County. We started as a very small outpatient substance abuse treatment program.
Whereabouts in Bergen County?
At the time, I think it was in Saddlebrook.
Saddlebrook, okay.
We've since moved our Bergen County office to Paramus as we've grown. And that's exactly what happened. Over the course of, you know, the first couple of months and years, we noticed that anytime we started offering new treatment, that treatment program would fill up very, very quickly.
Right.
In other words, the demand for psychiatric and substance abuse services there in Bergen County, but really throughout the state, was there. So so we started with this small program and slowly built on that. We started opening programs for substance abuse, for psychiatric services, and then we branched out and started providing services for adolescents. All the services that we provide are at the structured outpatient level,
okay.
meaning that patients will come to us multiple times per week, multiple hours per day, or multiple group sessions per day. So after being in Bergen County for a while, we took a look at the rest of New Jersey and thought there's probably some people out in other counties that could use the same type of help. And our model worked. We saw a lot of people who came through our program, and they got better. They stayed sober after they left, and if they were suffering from mental illness, they were in recovery for a long time after they left, and we wanted to build that footprint somewhere else. So over time, we built sites in Morris County, Union County, Monmouth County, And then the next stop was in Branchburg, right, basically on the border of Somerset and Hunterdon counties, which brought us here. So you know, we just saw that this was a great community to be a part of, great community organizations, like NAMI and the local Pakata and PAC and Power Somerset,
right.
And Hunterdon Prevention Resources, mm-hmm. the Safe Communities Coalition, different organizations that we really wanted to work with. And that's what we like to do. We like to open up a facility in a community and then become part of that community. So that's what we did here in Somerset County, but also mm-hmm. branched out into Hunterdon.
The reason I ask in Bergen County, because after we moved from Brooklyn, we went to move to Teaneck in Bergen County.
Yeah.
And I went to Teaneck High School, so that's why I was asking.
You?
Yeah.
I went to Fort Lee High School.
Oh, right. All right.
We're neighbors.
Yeah. My wife went to Teaneck High School also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, but, you know, I was just curious, you know, because like I said, you know, you said Bergen County and I just, you know, seems like we have a lot of, you know.
Yeah.
From Karlstadt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. You know. Now, are you just, when I say local meaning the state of New Jersey, are you outside the state of New Jersey or is it under a different name outside the state of New Jersey, you know?
So, I guess this is a good transition back to, from your question about the history. In 2012, HyFocus was purchased by a larger behavioral health company called Pyramid Healthcare.
Okay.
So HyFocus is essentially a subsidiary of that larger company. And what that allows for us to have access to is some inpatient programs. So we only provide structured outpatient programs in New Jersey. However, being a part of this larger organization, let's say we're treating a substance abuse patient that has multiple relapses and just isn't making it at our level, we can very easily transition them to a sister company or mm-hmm. an inpatient rehab in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're a part of that larger organization.
Okay. I got it. How did you wind up in Branchburg?
I think after you know, having success in regards to the other facilities that we had, we, you know, did conduct a needs assessment in the area. And after conducting that needs assessment, you know, it was determined that our services, you know, could definitely benefit the community in the area. And 3 years ago, we opened up our doors in October. It's very apparent that the services were needed because we're very busy over there right now.
You've been in Branchburg 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years.
I got to tell you, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, and
I'm not
having,
doing my job.
Well, I kind of come from, I worked over in Mercer County too, but, you know, it just, I've heard of HyFocus. I just didn't know it was in Branchburg for 3 years. Wow.
I think one of the things that's allowed us to have the success that we've had in Branchburg is, you know, we have several, you know, core values of efficiency and integrity. And one of the main core values we have is a significant emphasis placed on customer service. You know, there's so much research out there that indicates the more individuals you have engaged in the patient's process, you know, you're the better success rates you have. And, the amount of emphasis we place on customer service and family engagement, you know, is similar, you know, no matter what facility you go to in New Jersey for HyFocus centers.
Right.
It's just duplicated in our recent facility we opened up in Lawrenceville and Cherry Hill in the near future. And that model is consistent, and it's been very successful over the years.
You know, it's amazing because we hear all the time, well, you're in Hunterdon County. That's one of the wealthiest counties in the state. That's one of the wealthiest counties in the nation. What are you talking about? You have drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
You know, right.
Welcome to the world, man. You know, I mean, come on, really? And, you know, and you'd be surprised how many times we've heard it. You know, people can't comprehend that. All right, it's supposedly the wealthiest county in Jersey. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here, but, you know, because I sure as hell am not the wealthiest person around. But, you know, their thoughts are because it's such a wealthy community that you wouldn't have this.
Like they're immune to it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, you know, and it's just like, really? You know, come on.
Yeah. Oh. It's amazing how much misinformation and how much stigma is out there. And that's why I really appreciate the work that you guys do at NAMI. And that's why we at High Focus try and partner with organizations like NAMI and anyone in the community that wants to help get rid of that stigma, help sure. increase the education so that people realize this is a common thing and it's not that big a deal. You know, some people have to go to treatment, and then they go to work after treatment. You know,
right.
It's as simple as that.
Now, do you just treat males or females or both? Or
oh, we treat both male and female population.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's High Focus unique from other rehab facilities?
Well, I think we're unique in a lot of different ways. Going back to when we first started 22 years ago, carrying through all the way until today, there's just been an unbelievable focus on the clinical programs that that we put out there. We go above and beyond when it comes to oversight on those programs, making sure that it's a quality product, so that every patient that walks through the doors is getting the treatment that they deserve to get. So we're accredited by the Joint Commission, and that's pretty unique for an IOP, an intensive outpatient program like us. The Joint Commission is a governing body for behavioral health care organizations,
okay.
and they usually accredit inpatient facilities. And it's like I said, it's less common for an IOP to get that accreditation, and we did get that. And what it really means is that our staff, our clinical staff, is held to the highest levels of clinical accountability. They have to make sure that they're doing everything within their power to protect that client's safety, and to make sure that we're doing everything that could be done to make sure that their chances of successful recovery are in place. So that's one. The other is, I'm sitting here next to Drew Siegerman, and people like Drew throughout the organization are what really makes us unique. Drew's been with us for how many? Over 10 years.
Over 10 years, I believe, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he started as an intern, worked his way up, a ton of experience, and just a really talented clinician, but also a really talented administrator of programs.
Mm-hmm.
So the staff, and by the way, we only hire licensed clinicians.
Okay.
And believe it or not, that sounds like it should be standard, but it's not a requirement. There are programs that don't have licensed clinicians, but we think it's just very important in terms of getting the clients the experience treatment that they deserve, that we hire someone with experience with that license in place. So those are a couple of things that make us unique, I think. Anything else I'm forgetting?
Yeah, and also our engagement in regards to the community. PCATA, the PAC program, those are just...
You might want to explain what PCATA is because...
Oh, I was just going to ask.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the PCATA is the Professional Advisory Committee on Alcohol and Drug Abuse.
Okay.
Oh.
So we work closely with them as well as other county agencies that are providing additional support to the community. I think our presence within the community is very helpful in regards to being part of, let's say part of the problem, but part of the ongoing process to link services to those who need it.
Yeah, part of our model is to employ a community liaison for each one of our sites. And that person's job is to make sure that the community, whether that's patients and families or whether that's psychiatrists or psychotherapists out in the community or people at Hunterdon Medical Center who might refer us patients, that they know about our services and that they understand what we do. So a lot of our model includes that community liaison going out and doing some of the things that we spoke about, increasing
right.
Education and awareness, fighting stigma,
right.
that sort of thing.
When you get a referral, what happens then?
Well, the first thing that we would want to do is, well, obviously we would take some demographic information, make sure that it sounds like this client would be appropriate for our level of care, or at least appropriate to come in for an assessment. And then the first step is that assessment.
And who does that assessment?
Yeah, when someone comes in for an assessment, we don't – it's not mandatory for the person making the referral to say, you need high focus for this number of days a week, for this number of hours per day. We just want to be able to provide an assessment as a service within itself.
Okay.
At the end of that assessment, we'll make a treatment recommendation. You want to talk about who does the assessment?
It depends. We do have, in some facilities, assessment clinicians, either that or the clinicians for the program that the patient is being screened for. They would.
All right, let's just say alcoholism. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I obviously have to screen them.
Mm-hmm.
What is that process? I mean, is it just saying, well, Drew, how long have you been alcohol? You know, how long, you know, that sort of thing. What is, you know?
Yeah. We do a comprehensive biopsychosocial assessment.
Okay.
Really what that does, it takes a look at the overall picture of the client who's coming in and possibly, you know, seeking treatment. I think a lot of times when we have a discussion about chemical dependency, we can quickly gravitate towards a discussion of the actual use, you know. But we know based upon experience that, you know, the use is just a symptom of the overall issue, and you really have to take into consideration everything else that is evident and present in the client's life that's affecting, you know, their ability to function. So we conduct the biopsychosocial assessment, and not everybody who comes for assessment meets criteria for treatment. You know, last week we had two assessments, and you know, they didn't meet criteria for treatment. So we established relationships within the community for individual therapists and or psychiatrists, and we link them to those type of services.
In other words, you just don't say, "I'm sorry, you don't qualify," and that's it.
No, it's such an even if you're not providing the service. You know, to the client who's coming in, it's very important to making sure you're linking them, because we know that time can be such a sensitive matter of people who are struggling with substance abuse, and waiting a day to link them to the services at times could be the difference of life and death.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
When they do come in, let's say those type of patients who don't meet criteria, they do not leave there. You know, with the referral set up. And again, these referrals are people who we have relationships with. So we know if somebody who does have insurance, we're going to, you know, link them to somebody who's only taking insurance, and somebody who has the financial means of maybe going out of network, we have the appropriate referrals for those type of clients as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you take insurance?
Yeah, we do. We're actually an in-network provider for almost all of the insurance companies that that people in New Jersey would have.
Okay.
So, yeah, in network for commercial insurance.
Okay.
So we don't accept Medicare or Medicaid, but anyone with most major commercial insurance policies we would be able to work with.
All right. A couple of weeks ago we had folks on from Waypoint,
mm-hmm.
which you obviously know. What is the relationship between Waypoint and High Focus?
So Waypoint is well. Let me back up. One of the things that we like to do at High Focus is to really keep our eyes and our ears open as to the pulse of the community. We like to take a look at what trends are going on and then address those trends when possible. So one of the trends that we started to see was a very common patient profile: a young adult who was really not they were fitting that traditional failure to launch type of profile, where they were suffering from mental illness, probably in and out of psychiatric hospitals multiple times. They would get discharged from the hospital, come to High Focus, probably discharged successfully from High Focus, but then once they go back to their home environment, they would have some issues. There'd be a dysfunctional type of situation going on, and it would get them sent right back to the psychiatric unit. So we wanted to put together a more comprehensive program where we could better meet the needs of those individuals. And that's where we came up with the concept of Waypoint, which is now more than a concept. It's a full program. So the relationship between Waypoint and High Focus is that Waypoint is one of the High Focus programs. It's just it's our first endeavor into the overnight, residential type of setting, whereas most of High Focus is structured, or all of High Focus is structured outpatient.
Okay.
When you say you mentioned IOP earlier. Do you also do a partial hospital level of care at the center?
Yeah, we do. So we provide services for psychiatric and substance abuse, and we do partial care programs for psych, mm-hmm. And we do IOP for psych and substance abuse.
Gotcha.
So people, and the difference for some of your listeners is that someone who's coming for a partial care program would be coming 5 days a week for 6 hours per day. Right. It's a pretty highly structured program, five groups every day.
Okay.
For IOP, which is intensive outpatient programming, someone would come somewhere between 2 to 5 days a week. Traditionally, they would start out at five, and as they progress, step down to 4 days, to 3 days, and then to 2 days. And that would be a three-hour-a-day program with three groups.
Is that day or evening? And I only ask that because, actually, I worked in partial hospital programs. We had no IOP. And IOPs are great. I mean, I kind of think it is weighed back into life. Do you guys offer it in the evening time? So if you have, you know, somebody that's working and able to be in treatment and work at the same time?
So currently we offer an evening substance abuse IOP. As far as our psychiatric services here in Branchburg, that's only a day program. As I said before, one of the things that we like to do is take a look at trends and take a look at what people want. And one of the things that people want that we've noticed is an evening psychiatric program. So typically when we try to roll out new programming at High Focus, we now have six sites. So we tend to pilot a new program at one of the sites. And so in our Morris County site in Parsippany, we currently do have an evening psychiatric program. And we're looking to open slowly in the rest of the sites, you know, hopefully soon. So you're not the only one that's asked us that question.
It plays a really important role in, you know, people's recovery.
Sure.
And, you know, having been in partial hospital, I kind of like, I would explain it to my patients that if you build a foundation of a house and you pour the cement and then they leave the wood there for a couple weeks because you got to wait until the cement gets good and solid, that's kind of what the structure treatment does. And it makes sense, you guys now going like overnight, because there are just some people that need that foundation there until they get a little more solid before it can kind of actually hold them. So, you know, that's great.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole partial care and IOP level of care is really all about transition.
Yeah.
We get a lot of our patients coming from a higher level of care, meaning an inpatient psychiatric unit or a drug and alcohol rehab. And we find that long-term outcomes tend to be better when someone coming from a setting like that doesn't just get discharged into no treatment.
Right.
It's best to discharge them into a structured outpatient program like partial care or intensive outpatient program and let them successfully complete that program. And then when they're done with us, we don't just discharge them to nothing. We make sure that we set them up with outpatient therapy and a psychiatrist if that's indicated.
Right. Yeah. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we are very privileged today to have with us Dan Gelman, who is a director of marketing for High Focus, and Drew Seegerman. All right, I got it twice now. Who's the director of High Focus Center in Branchburg, and we shall be right back, so stay tuned.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Carol Ricard. And as I said before the break, we have Dan Gelman, who is the Director of Marketing for High Focus, and Drew Siegerman, who is the Director of High Focus Center in Branchburg. And we've been talking about the various services that High Focus offers. And do either of you see any recent trends that are coming up that weren't there maybe 2 years ago or something?
Yeah. Obviously, when we talk about recent drug trends, it's difficult not to have this conversation without, you know, mentioning opiates. Yeah. More specifically, you know, the trend of education as well. I think there needs to be more of a transition of education and awareness to the community that coincides with the trends of opiate use. What I mean by that is that, you know, you're working with family members today, and maybe a generational issue and a misunderstanding of what the majority of these type of patients are abusing. Obviously, prescription medication continues to rise, and you know, we see day after day more research and more towns and counties are acknowledging this issue as an official drug trend, but what needs to also be in place is the awareness of the parents, you know, and or other family members who might not be aware that the majority of substances that are being used as a current drug trend can be found in bathrooms, you know.
Yeah.
And also, you know, one trend which I talk about quite often is I think we've had a historical transition in regards to what type of opiate patient we're working with. I think, you know, we were at a time at one point when it came to opiates, you know, the majority of opiates that were being used was heroin. And when you were using heroin, especially, you know, around the time of the 70s, the heroin was very potent. You know, there was a high concentration of pure heroin in heroin that was being sold, and the overall level of functioning of that type of individual wasn't very high. But today, I think we've come to a point where we need to have a discussion as a drug trend of having functioning opiate patients. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about these individuals who are coming in for, you know, an assessment and have reported, you know, Vicodin, Percocet, Oxycontin use or any other ones of the opiate prescription medication. But introducing Suboxone into into this mix, and what we've come to realize is that I believe we are dealing with functioning opiate addicts for the first time ever. These are individuals who, you know, might be using prescription pain medication, you know, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then can take Suboxone on Sunday, you know, and limit the withdrawals that they might feel from the opiate use, and have the ability to function throughout the week at work. And, you know, and we're seeing that, you know, more and more as, you know, we're continuing to have exposure to these type of patients and that type of trend, and what we do about it and how we respond to meet their needs, I think, is an imperative process of discussing drug trends.
Yeah. You know, it's just amazing that, you know, years ago when I was growing up, it was all alcohol, you know. We used to go to New York State and, you know, go across the border and, you know, that sort of thing. But now it's just so different, you know. I guess when I saw a lot of it was in the service when I was overseas, you know, and it was just, you know, amazing. Because it was like, you know, like they gave it away over there, you know. Mom's son had come along with her little basket with, you know, and, you know, so it's just, but now it's just like, you know, again, like we were talking earlier about, oh, this is Hunterdon County, you don't have that, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, people better wake up because you do have it, you know. It's just, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, Hell's Angels and, you know, various the Crips and, you know, all that. Well, I was at a conference in South Jersey, actually, and a undercover state police officer was giving the, who had gone undercover previously. And he said, you know, he says, everybody, when they say Hell's Angels or the Crips, he says, they all think of black leather motorcycle jackets and, you know, boots and bandanas on their heads. He says, I would venture to say that 99% of them now that are selling the drugs are walking around with a suit and tie. And he said, if you don't believe it, ask your local police. Mm-hmm. He says, they're walking around with suit and ties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and a couple weeks ago I had the county prosecutor on, Hunterdon County prosecutor, and he said the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, when we were talking, that, yeah, they've shaved their beards and, you know, and they've got, not I don't mean you, I mean, but, you know, you know, the ones that hang down to their, you know.
That's because Dan's wearing a beard right now.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, his is shaved and everything close. I'm talking about the shaggy ones, you know, right. And they get a haircut and all that, you know. And he says, you know, just, but that's the trend, I guess, you know, now. So, and it's a shame.
I think one drug trend we would like to see is more involvement from a legislative, you know, position. You know, I think it raises questions in regards to the companies who are producing these pain medications and, you know, taking a look at how that has such a negative impact and what the drug is intended for and what it's being used for, I think raises an interesting question. And, you know, you also take into consideration that the company who is producing Narcan is also the same company that makes these opiate medications. So I think, you know, that raises a question of, you know, taking a look at, you know, the exposure that these patients are having to, you know, the pain medication and what's the next step with that.
Can I ask you guys a question? And I don't know this for sure, but a couple of years ago I thought New Jersey was going to start a database where they would be able to track prescriptions that physicians wrote for opioids and I guess like the different classes. Did they do that? Like, do we have that here in New Jersey?
I believe they do.
You know, that I, let's say I go to my doctor here in Hunterdon County, and then I go to my doctor in Somerset County, then I go to my doctor in Mercer County. Yep. You know, there's a way now that there didn't used to be to kind of track those things. Yeah, is there?
Yeah, there is a system in place, and also I believe they changed the law in regards to you can't have any refills on opiate medications, where you can have two or three refills in the past. There's no refills.
Yep, you're right, because I have a girlfriend who had lupus, and that she was at first pissed when it had changed because it meant she was going to see her doctor every 30 days for her pain meds.
It's important, though.
Yeah.
And I think over time, you know, this is, relatively speaking, a new phenomena that we're, that we're dealing with. But I think that we see some positive trends in terms of the primary care doctors and pain specialists. I think they're starting to be significantly more responsible in terms of writing these products.
That's good. That's good to know.
When you we were talking earlier about when you receive a patient and they get screened, okay? Let's say they get accepted to High Focus. What happens then?
So we would make a recommendation. We would make a treatment recommendation, and that recommendation in the scenario you're talking about would be partial care program or IOP, intensive outpatient program. And if that was the recommendation, then after doing that biopsychosocial assessment where we interview the patient, in many cases we would talk to the family. We would also get a release signed to talk to different individuals that the patient may be working with in the community. It's really important to have good communication with outside providers like the therapist, like the discharge planner on the psychiatric unit, et cetera. And we would get a really good picture of what's going on. And then we would schedule a start date, usually within 24 hours of that assessment, and start the patient in that program.
Okay. Do you find that a lot of the patients you or folks you deal with have family supporting them or no?
I think that fluctuates. That definitely fluctuates between, you know, each assessment that we conduct. But I'd say there's a pretty significant amount of clients who are coming in for assessments that do have some type of support. Within the chemical dependency program, we have an opiate contract, and within that contract, the patient is required to have some type of sober support. We initially had it as a family member, but the family member doesn't necessarily mean all the time that they might be the sober support. We might have to identify somebody else. Without that support, if you can't identify it and incorporate that support into the process of treatment, you're going to hit some natural roadblocks along the way. It's really important to get as much support as you can from the
Absolutely.
And also when we're gathering information so that we can make an appropriate recommendation, that's one really important factor. So if there's someone who is at risk for self-harm or relapse or whatever it is, and they don't have the family support, you know, we may take that into consideration when thinking, is this person appropriate for our level, or maybe, you know, should we start to consider an inpatient situation? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes family isn't the best, you know, means of support, you know. And I've seen that, you know, over the years. It's just, you know, sometimes people, families just feel that the person, in our instances with mental health issues, oh, pull yourself together, go out and get a job, get up, you know, hey, you're just lazy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they don't quite get it, or they don't want to get it. So that's not really, you know, if the person is seeking help, it's not the, you know, that's not the support they need. You know, they need someone that they can call or help or whatever, you know.
So one of the things that we're actually doing in the Branchburg site is the multifamily program for our psychiatric patients. That's something that in all across High Focus, we do that for the substance abuse patients, but in Branchburg, we're starting to see how that goes with the psychiatric population. Because of addressing the things that you're talking about, families just saying, you know, pull yourself together, and, you know, they just need some education. They need to understand that it's not that easy. So how's that been going in Branchburg?
It's been successful. We found that the feedback from the family members has been very positive, very supportive.
That's good.
Yeah, we've had that for about 4 or 5 months now, and I think we're going to look to expand that type of services to our other facilities as well.
That's good. All right, just briefly, I come to your organization, and I'm screened, and I feel like I'm accepted. Okay, I've been accepted. What is a typical day like?
Okay. Well, after the assessment, the first thing we do is we give the family and the client a tour of the facility. That way they're more comfortable coming in for their first day, because that could be very anxiety provoking. So if we introduce them to the staff they're going to be working with, our doctor, our nurse, myself, that way, again, they're slightly familiar, with the people that they see on the first day. Depending upon what program they're in, whether partial and or the IOP, there's always going to be a group therapy every day. There's always going to be an educational group, a didactic group, a structured activity group. We have written groups. We have DBT groups. We also have incorporated a holistic approach, which has been very popular. We have pet therapy once every 3 weeks. Dog's name is Alexi, I believe, and it's a year and a half old lab, and when she comes into the facility, sometimes I have to make sure everybody is where they should be, because like the whole facility shuts down when the dog comes in.
Right.
And it's great, it's great for the clients and the staff. We also have art therapy. We have meditation and yoga groups that we conduct. Mm-hmm. And there's no additional charge. This is all the services, provide just in, billing IOP and or partial. The psychiatric programs, they would see our psychiatrist within the first 3 days for an initial eval, weekly thereafter for medication management, and look for a stabilization process. Psychiatric programs, while they're in partial, have a family session and individual session every week. When they transition to IOP, they would have a family session 1 week, an individual session the following week. In our chemical dependency program, they have the initial family session within the first 3 days, and then you have individual sessions weekly. We have a co-occurrent track as well. We have that within our adult psychiatric program and our adolescent psychiatric program. When we're conducting our assessments, we're identifying these patients at the time of the assessment. And when they if they start out in the partial level of care, when they transition to the IOP level of care, then they would break out into to the co-occurring tracks. And the co-occurring clients in the adolescent psychiatric program, we're not mixing, these patients together. They have their own process group. They have their own education. They have their own didactic group. The only time they would be everybody's together is, I believe, 2 or 3 times a week when we have a DBT skills group. But we're also taking a look at, do we need to even have additional groups, because maybe some of those clients who are in a co-occurring might benefit by more education for chemical dependency rather than the DBT. So we have had some initial conversations of that, but we're looking to kind of iron out the details of that. And again, always being proactive and always thinking, how can we best serve the clients that we see, because you can't stay stuck. You always have to, in this field, always evolve, always, be up to date on evidence-based treatment.
Mm-hmm.
and always adapting to the needs of the clients.
If someone is on prescribed medication,
mm-hmm.
Has someone there to make sure they take it, or do they have to take it on their own, or how does that work?
Yeah, we have, at the time of the assessment for our psychiatric programs, if somebody is on medication, we would get the release for the prescribing physician. Before the assessment is concluded, we would call the physician. We're going to confirm the medication and the dosage. And that would be standard for all our programs when it comes to opiates and benzodiazepines. In the psychiatric our programs, again, we're going to call and confirm. That medication has to be monitored either by a family member and or parents. We typically don't like the clients to have immediate access to that medication. In our chemically dependent programs, the individual would have to agree to a titration for these medications.
Okay.
A program is based upon complete abstinence from all substances. So also taken into consideration, we can't tell somebody who's been taking benzodiazepines to immediately discontinue that due to the concerns of withdrawal and seizures.
Right.
But they would have to agree to some type of titration. That titration is typically set up by our psychiatrist, and the patient would see the psychiatrist every week, taking a look at symptomology and or reported side effects and or withdrawals. He would adjust the medication, as appropriate.
Very good.
Oh, and the opiates, we don't take any patients who, had the intent to continue to take opiates at all. Right. If it's a, but it might be a medical situation. That's maybe probably more the exception rather than the norm. What we would do in that situation is obviously
talking about medical marijuana.
Oh no, I'm sorry. A medical issue. Like somebody said, you know, I've recently had surgery for back pain.
Okay,
And they're prescribed an opiate. One thing we're going to take a look at is has been a history of opiate use.
Okay,
if the person has a history of opiate use and they recently has some type of medical issue where opiates were prescribed, it can become problematic because we're not too sure. Based upon the previous history of opiates in conjunction with the medication being prescribed, are they going to be at risk for withdrawals?
Right.
So that that's more of a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
As for non-narcotic psychotropic medications, I mean, that's just part of the nature of what we do. So a good majority of our clientele would be on some sort of medication, even in our chemical dependence programs, and that would be fine. They, we would titrate them off if it was a benzodiazepine like a Xanax or something like that.
We have about 3 minutes left.
Okay.
If there's anything you specifically would like to mention. If not, I have a question. If someone – that's surprising. I have a question. If someone wanted to get some more information about High Focus, is there a website or a telephone number they could call?
Yeah, absolutely. They could go to www.highfocuscenters.com.
Okay.
And they should be able to get almost all their questions answered right then and there on the website. They could also email us directly from that website with their question, and we can email them back or call them back. Or they can call us at 800-877-3628. And they can call us at that number to ask any questions, or if they did wish to schedule that initial assessment, they could call us there.
All right. Want to give that number again?
Sure. That number is 800-877-3628.
And what was the website?
It's www.highfocuscenters.com.
Is it okay if I say hello to my my students over at Raritan Valley Community College?
Sure.
I teach the CADC courses over there. I've been very fortunate to
explain what, the, that course is.
Certified chemical dependency. It's a CADC certification for the state of New Jersey, which allows you to treat addictions. And they're in the process of obtaining that certification. I have a great group. So I'll see if I remember everybody. Tanya, Sarah, Katie, Brian, Jeff, John, Elisa, and Ashley. I hope I got it right. But I told them to listen today, so I want to say hello to them.
Cool. There you go. Hi, guys.
Yeah. got a good teacher.
Yeah. Evidently, you obviously have a good teacher. With that, I'm going to ask you just one more time for the phone number, because the website, they can, you know.
Sure. The number is 800-877-3628. It's actually 800-877-FOCUS. So like High Focus Centers, 800-877-FOCUS, which is 3628.
All right. I can't thank you guys enough for being here. And
thank you.
We will have you back again.
Oh, that'd be great. This was fun.
Yeah, this was really
and if you have something that comes up and you have my card, you can reach out.
Absolutely.
And we can maybe squeeze you in or something and or do something, you know. But I will have you back. I guarantee it. Okay?
That'd be great.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Mental Health Matters. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, this is Ruthie Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Honorton County.
Honorton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.